Welcome once again to Word on the Hills, with me, Felicity Sidnell-Reed, my co-host, Gwyn Scheltema, and our guest this week, Janet Keller. Each week, we visit with a local author or other persons involved with writers and readers. We ask them to introduce us to their work. We hope for a glimpse into their lives. We find out what prompts them to write, and we give them an opportunity to read from their work. We're delighted to have Janet Keller return to our show this week to tell us about her most recent projects. Welcome, Janet.
Thank you.
Janet Keller is well known for her historical mystery series featuring circuit rider Thaddeus Lewis. On her last visit, she discussed her novel Wishful Seeing, which is set in Coburg. This book has been nominated for an Arthur Ellis Award Best Book category for 2016. Congratulations, Janet.
Thank you.
She has just released a new book, which we hope she'll tell us about. But she wants first to talk about a different project that she's been organizing with Vicky Delaney, who was with us a few weeks ago, the literary festival Women Killing It, to be held in Picton on Labor Day weekend. So, Janet, tell us about this project. Women Killing It, Crime Writers Festival.
Yes. Yes.
So where did the name come from?
So I sort of conceived this idea, and there were a number of reasons for doing so. First and foremost, women writers have always had a problem in that their work is never taken as seriously as men's is. You know, they don't get reviewed as often.
Right.
They're, you know, most often published first in paperback, which really impacts your earnings. And first and foremost, they don't get invited nearly as often to literary festivals. It is changing. People understand that there is a problem and that they need to do something about it. But kind of at the same time, mystery writers have lost a couple of really great events. And one was Bloody Words, which was a big conference in Toronto for Canadian mystery writers. Mm-hmm. And there was also Scene of the Crime Mystery Festival, which was on Wolf Island. And both of those have gone by the board.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
In recent days. So I kind of took those two things and, in my usual way, mashed them together and thought, well, why don't we do something about both things? Why don't we have a crime writing festival that focuses on Canadian women? So I approached Vicky Delaney, who thought it was a great idea, and I talked with David Sweet, who is the owner of Books and Company in Picton, and he thought it sounded like a grand idea. So we were off and running from there. I have to admit that I was thinking it was going to be called Femme Fatale or something like that. And one of the people that we got involved in the organization is a very talented graphic designer by the name of Christine Renault.
Mm-hmm.
And we were sitting talking about the festival. And she did one of those things that those people do, like she had a pen and a paper napkin and just started kind of, you know, sketching things. And she went, you know, what I really see is I see, you know, this and this and this and women killing it. And I just went, oh, of course, it's perfect.
And tell us now about the authors who will be there.
We were very lucky. We got just a really enthusiastic response from anybody that we approached. So we ended up with Susanna Kearsley, who, of course, is a New York Times bestseller author, sort of romantic thriller. We have Maureen Jennings of Murdoch Mystery fame. We have Barbara Fradkin, who is a best-selling Canadian author, R.J. Harlick, Melody Campbell, Mary Jane Maffini, Elizabeth Duncan, who just recently won a Boni Blythe Award for her latest book. And we decided right off the bat that we wanted to feature a local author as well. So we invited Robin Timmerman along, who has now self-published three books in the mystery field. And what we want to do is kind of maybe bring her, you know, a little more to the attention of folks.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a pretty stunning lineup. We really do.
I can't wait.
Oh, it's going to be fun. So the Friday night event is going to be this table hopping thing where people will sit at a table and eat, and an author will come and sit with you, mm-hmm, and tell you all about her book. And then a timer will go off and all of the authors get up and move. So by the end of the evening, you will have had this kind of face-to-face with every single author that's there.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be foods and nibblies and refreshment at that. Mm-hmm. And then Saturday morning, there's a workshop. We were really lucky because we got a lot of community support right off the bat. Both Picton Library and Macaulay Heritage Park, which is a museum complex in Picton, sort of said, hey, why don't we make it a cooperative event? And, you know, we can help you out, which was just terrific.
Mm-hmm.
We also had a couple of the local wineries, Black Prince Winery and The Grange at Prince Edward County, come on board as sponsors. And you know what that means. Macaulay House in Picton is this beautiful, restored heritage home. And it now functions as a museum, but there's an active friends group there.
Mm-hmm.
And there is also a room at the back, which is called the Stone Room, where they do have special events. And so we have arranged for the Friends of Macaulay Heritage Park to provide a real Victorian tea. And that's where we're going to feature the cozier writers. So that's Melody Campbell and Mary Jane Mafini, Susanna Kearsley, and Elizabeth Duncan. So that's going to be fun, and it's going to be very intimate. You're going to have a chance to talk with these authors and kind of get to know them as people. And then on the Saturday night, we have an event that we're calling Appointment with Death and Dessert. And that's where we're going to feature the grittier writers. And again, we're going to have some wonderful desserts. So you can go from the tea and then maybe pick up some dinner somewhere and then end up at our event, you know, for dessert.
Good. Well, I'm sure it's going to be a great success. Remind us as when it's going to be.
Okay, it is September 1st and 2nd, which is Labor Day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get tickets, if you're lucky enough to be in Prince Edward County, you can get tickets at Books and Company. Otherwise, you can order them through Eventbrite Canada. And we've been really pleased with how that's going. So you can just either Google Women Killing It, and that will bring you up all kinds of hits, or go straight to Eventbrite Canada and look for the Women Killing It festival page.
How about reading us a couple of passages to indicate how different these writers are? So what?
Well, the first thing that I would like to read you is R.J. Harlech's new book, which actually isn't even out, I don't believe, until October, and it's called Purple Palette for Murder. R.J. Harlech is called the Queen of Wilderness Canadian Writing, and this particular book takes place near Yellowknife.
Uh-huh.
And her heroine, Meg Harris, has married into an Indigenous family. And now her husband has been accused of murder. And so Meg and Uncle Joe, who's a Dene, are paddling frantically through the wilderness looking for a witness to clear her husband's name. Dene, Dene land. Beautiful, eh? Uncle Joe slumped down beside me. Like me, he had a cookie in one hand and a mug of hot tea in the other, but he hadn't bothered with the blanket. A stillness descended with dying of the wind. I swore that if a mouse stepped on a twig, I would have heard it. So quiet had it become, apart from the whine of mosquitoes which were starting to discover us. We were alone, just Uncle Joe and me, in this vast, silent, empty land, until a wolf's howl in the distance reminded me we weren't. I wondered if wolves could swim. Diga. Uncle Joe jerked his head in the direction of the howl. So de must mean river? He nodded, then without preamble began to tell me about his sister. Florence Special, she older, 6 or 7 years, don't know for sure. That would put her in her early 80s. I'm surprised she'd be out on the land at that age. She with Angus, Malcolm's boy, but she tough old lady. He slurped his tea before continuing. In old days, families live on the land. Priests visit families and mark down new babies in book and bring them to God's family. Priests don't come often. They guess dates when baby's born. My brother is 2 or 3 years older than me. My mother had more babies, but they died. Hard living on the land. I imagine it would be, especially during the long, dark days of winter. I tried to picture myself huddling in the dark in a tent, with nothing but caribou hide to protect me from the fierce Arctic wind, but couldn't. But it was good times, too. We Tlico were strong, knew how to live on the land. We followed the caribou. Herds cover the land. Today, caribou gone. We not strong. Too used to modern stuff. Look at me with my big motor. He flicked his hand in the direction of his boat. We forget how to live on the land. Our kids spend too much time on fancy phones and watching TV. They don't want to go out on the land. Florence don't like new life. She don't like how it changed our people. She spend more time on the land than Andika Day.
Thank you, Janet. That's wonderful. So, remind us again.
That is Purple Palette for Murder. It's a Meg Harris mystery by R.J. Harlick. And Robin Harlick will be at Women Killing It.
Good.
Which is fun. And by contrast, I've got a book by Melody Campbell. Melody writes Rapid Reads books, which I think the original intention was that it would appeal to people with literacy issues, in that it had reduced vocabulary and shorter sentences and that sort of thing. And what they have discovered is that people love them because they're quick reads, they're novellas. So they've actually become very popular. And one of the best is Melody Campbell, and her latest book is The Bootlegger's Goddaughter, and it's a Gina Gallo mystery. And in this, again, there's a heroine and an uncle.
Oh.
But Gina is a member of a crime family in Hamilton, Ontario, although she desperately is trying to get away from it, but they will never let her go.
Oh.
And in this, it's a few days before her wedding, and she and her cousin Nico have been summoned to see Uncle Sammy. "Over here, Gina," said a voice. The room was dim, lit by one light bulb hanging on a wire from the rafters. Coming in from brilliant sunshine made the blindness worse. I walked in a few steps and stopped to let my eyes adjust. "Hi, Uncle Sammy," said Nico behind me. Sammy grunted. I could see him now, sitting at the wooden table to the side. In this poor lighting, he was a ringer for Woody Allen. A little machine the size of a toaster perched on the table in front of him. There were several identical machines on the floor next to him. "What's that?" I said, peering at it. "It's a counterfeit currency finder," he said. "See, you put a bill under this light, and it will tell you if it's counterfeit or not." I watched him demonstrate with a $20 bill. "That one's good, see?" I could see that it was good, but I didn't get the point. "Why do you have all these machines here?" "It's good business, Gina," said Nico. "Banks pay a lot for these machines. So do small businesses like convenience stores. That way they don't get stuck with a lot of fake bills." I still didn't get it. Last I knew, and much to my regret, we were in the business of printing counterfeit money, not selling machines to detect it. Or were we? "Are you still importing that counterfeit Canadian money from Canton?" I said. "I thought we were out of that business because the quality sucked so bad." "We are out of that business," said Sammy. "Besides, we aren't importing coffins anymore either." The counterfeit money had been hidden in the false bottoms of several imported coffins. "Why aren't we importing coffins? Or wait, do I really want to know?" I was pretty sure I didn't. "The fly-by-night funeral is currently on hold," Sammy said. "Larry, the retired embalmer at the nursing home, was apparently demented." "No shit," said Nico, shaking his head sadly. Sammy continued. "He was becoming a problem for the ladies, if you get my drift." "Randy," said Nico, "kept hiding in bedrooms and popping out to surprise them." "Minus pajamas," Sammy added. I groaned.
So thank you, Janet. We've been talking to Janet Keller, who's been telling us about Women Killing It, an exciting new venture to celebrate Canadian women crime writers. Now we'll take a short break.